Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh.
Back in the house.
Congratulations to you on this, Dave. Not to you, Tosh, but to those out listening. You've made a wonderful choice by listening to CougarCast today, and you are a loyal soul for listening on a week where the Cougars take on the Wagner Seahawks, a team that Tosh and I, in our pre-pod, had a serious conversation about, which was trying to decide, are they the worst team BYU's ever played? Last year, it's clear. Savannah State was the worst team BYU's ever played. That's backed up just because they were an FCS or Division II team that ran the table in reverse. They went 0-12 last year. And
Wagner's trying to dethrone them.
Wagner right now, they're playing football at this point. What they have going for them at this point is they're competing to be the worst team BYU football has ever played in its long, illustrious history. So, Tosh, are they the worst team, or will they end up being the worst team? And that becomes the compelling question.
I think that they are the worst team we have ever played.
You think Savannah State would take them down?
Yeah, I do. Columbia had lost 26 games in a row, and then Columbia blew out Wagner. Wagner scored 3 points against the porous Columbia.
The Lions, the mighty Lions, got the win.
No,
to be fair, it was a road game. It was a road game for old Wagner.
Yeah, same state. Like, any Wagner.
Same city. What are you talking about? Same city.
In this year of tough games, it's really the first game that I haven't met lots of people that thought we were going to lose. But this game, I have not met a soul that thinks we will lose this game.
Well, that's because people are very smart. Yeah. Here it is. So let's go through their season. They opened up in Houston, Texas, at Rice. They lost 56-16. They went to Monmouth, or actually were at home, played Monmouth, lost 31-16. Lafayette came to Staten Island, New York, and got the victory on the road. They beat the Seahawks of Wagner 35-24. Robert Morris, the Colonials, they made their way into Staten Island and won 9-6. That was a barn burner. Do you remember that one? You're going to be bouncing your kid on the knee.
I don't remember that one.
You're going to be telling them about the time Robert Morris locked muskets with the Seahawks of Wagner. Then you just detailed, right, on the road in New York City at Columbia, and Columbia got the win, 26-3. And then last week, who'd they take on, Tosh?
They took on
St. Francis U.
Never even heard of them. When they're losing to teams I've never heard of, it's not a good sign.
You haven't heard of the squad from Loretto, Pennsylvania?
No, and neither of you.
They struggled with St. Francis, tough road game, 43-14. So, listen, if St. Francis beats Wagner 43-14, if Rice beats them 56-16, the lowest scoring output for Wagner this year was 3. They also had a 6-point game. How many points will the Wagner Seahawks score in Provo, Utah, Saturday afternoon?
9? Yeah, I bet.
Touchdown safety.
Yeah, and Bronco is not someone that's a run up the score. We're gonna be playing fourth string guys, you know, and so I bet they score some points.
He's a guy that will show me everything you got in the first half, and then he takes the.
Yep.
He goes from being on the speed boat onto a pontoon boat, starts trying to catch some fish.
Opposite last week. We'll get back to Wagner. I know all of our listeners are just dying to hear more Wagner breakdown.
All right.
Let's go. Let's talk a little bit of old
Cincinnati.
Cincy.
So, who had the best dance squad?
It was tough to say, you know, both schools claiming that they're the champs. And so
I know your eyes were on it. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, the Bearcats didn't travel the UC dance team. So there you go.
It's just YouTube videos.
just their YouTube videos. Second straight week, they go down 14 points in the first quarter. They come back. They win. Sometimes fate smiles on a team. That is every BYU fan likes to pretend like we suffered and stuff. Maybe we should always look back on the 2015 BYU football team, because a couple Hail Marys, every other game they've either been tied or trailing in the fourth quarter and had to come back and win. I mean, I think the Cougar fans should feel fortunate to have gotten by East Carolina, and boy, that defensive line caused a lot of problems in the second half for Cincinnati. They came back and won versus the Bearcats. So
yeah.
I just think, you know, 2015, BYU football, they've been very fortunate this season.
What I want to give some credit to is Bronco, because years past, and I've been part of this crowd, Bronco has been much maligned for being terrible at in-game adjustments. This year, the guy has been lights out at in-game adjustments. You look even against
Cincinnati. So it's not just about execution and carrying out the game plan.
That's important, but this year the guy has been – he's changed or something. He's got better players that can adjust or whatever. But I'm looking at against Cincy, our defense looked terrible to start the game. And it's like, holy smokes, we're going to get run out of here. We couldn't even slow him down. For the last three quarters – we looked like they didn't even belong to be playing on the same field with our defense. Like, it was crazy, really, two games in a row that Bronco has made some, whatever it's adjusted, to change the game. And so I want to give credit there. And we really there's guys that can play in big situations and guys that can't. What I love about this team that I'm excited about going forward is it does really appear like we've got some mental gamers. That we've got some guys that can come up in big plays.
A lot of people like to criticize the depth of the team, but this has been a full-on depth year, I feel like.
Yeah.
That being said, it's been good enough to beat the Atlantic Conference. or the American Conference for 3 weeks.
They have some good team. I look at, here's something to smile at. Fans are mad that Burt is not playing more. He's going into this year, he was our fifth string running back. Like, and he's pretty dang good. Like,
he
was moved from corner.
Yeah.
And so this team has depth. I try to live in the moment, not be totally focused on next year. But I really think we have a lot of depth and a lot of good athletes coming back next year that have proven in big games they can come through this year.
Do you think those same fans who probably called for another Riley to be inserted into, you think they'll be burned?
Have another Riley chant from the crowd. That guy looks good, though. I'm on that wagon if Burt has a burst.
Yeah, he looks like a very explosive player. Other takeaways that I have on this team is that I had a pretty good seat, and I got to see that Johnny Linehan is very intense. He, you know, the kickers, they stay all the way on the end of the sideline, and Johnny Linehan, he's in it, man. So he steps on the field.
If someone goes to the games, you're saying they should keep an eye out at the madness that is Johnny Linehan.
Just keep an eye out. I mean, he's always shouting and waving his arms around, lifting his helmet in the air, and he's active. He's engaged on that sideline. Probably the most active, engaged sideline guy that I saw is the punter. So
other other big thing I got from this game is, maybe I should get the credit for this, because as I'm starting to watch the game, I tell my friends I'm watching it with, like, man, after the Nebraska game, even before the season, I thought Kurtz was going to be our leading receiver. And in the Nebraska game, I looked like the smartest guy ever, and then he just disappeared. And a lot of that was targets. Like, he really wasn't getting targeted. Against Cincy, guy broke out, you know, 120 receiving yards, two touchdowns. That we have, speaking of depth, we have a lot of depth at the receiving core. It just seems like our receivers just take turns of which one, you know, maybe the defense is giving the soft part of the defense to, and we're Mangum's taking advantage. He's not just a one receiver guy. He has a big time star receiver that's different every game.
So this Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. kickoff, BYU TV carrying Wagner and BYU. Tosh, give the folks listening, give them a compelling thing to pay attention to for Saturday's game. What will you be watching for? Why should a fan even bother instead of maybe going out and playing a round of golf?
I don't have anything crazy. Stats. That's the thing that they should be watching for is stats. Because in all honesty, that's what the players pump themselves up with games like this. Like, coaches always... It's funny, anyone who's played sports knows this, that the coaches every week come up with some creative way to try to rally the troops. But it's impossible against a team like Wagner for the coaches to rally them to think that Wagner's could beat them. What players are going to use...
It's not impossible, though. You're going to give a reason to hate later.
That is true. That will rile them up. But it really comes down to stats. Players in games like this, as selfish as that it is, they're going for sacks. They're going for yards. They're going for touchdowns. This is the games that they're looking to put up, you know, Madden-like stats up in a game. And that's what I'm watching for.
So what specific stat, though? Like I don't know. I'm kind of excited, like, you know, to see some of the younger guys. Like, how about, here's a fun one. Like, will a tight end have a catch?
There you go, yeah. And I think... Sacks is a big one, too, because on offense...
Five Baldery catches.
Yeah.
That's maybe what we're cheering for. Let's make that the Cougar Cast thing that we're cheering for.
I feel
too
like...
Too ambitious?
This is another dead year of the tight ends.
too ambitious?
They're offensive... We have multiple... We have three offensive guards, is how I look at our tight ends. Yes, too ambitious.
Let's do it for the whole unit. All tight ends...
I'm predicting zero tight end catches.
Because
we're going to have... They're going to go through, be thrown to second string receivers. And I don't know why our second string quarterbacks are going to be more tight end friendly. I'm just not feeling the tight ends.
Friend of the show, Andrew George, has commented to us, I believe on the show, but also personally with us. He has... he's commented that he hates to see it, but he really feels that... Robert and I has moved on from the tight ends. Doesn't feel with their size and all that stuff that the go fast, go hard thing is compatible with tight end play. And
we've got a guy on a mission right now, Bushman.
Yeah.
Who was a freak tight end in college. I mean, in high school, sorry. Maybe he's going to rejuvenate the tight end position. But right now, I don't see it with our current personnel.
Anyway, so those are the things that you can maybe look for. The most compelling things... that you can look into, but now we're going to move forward. All right, it's time for 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, which would you rather watch this weekend, Tosh, at the stadium? The Kiss Cam for 15 minutes. Tanner Mangum throwing in a game of 500 between Mitch Matthews... 6'6", Nick Kurtz, 6'5", Taryn Houck, 6'5", and Nate Carter, 5'3". or the actual game. So the game of 500 between Matthews, Kurtz, Houck, Carter, 15 minutes of Kiss Cam or the actual football game.
So it was going to be football game until you threw Carter in the mix. Like, that would be a sight to see. In the A, that guy is all effort. So he would be bringing his A game, but it'd be really funny to see Nate Carter in a game of 500 against... I'm going with that. I'd be fine if for a whole quarter instead of... Wagner would probably be fine with it too. Instead of playing the game, yeah. We just watched 500 for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun, actually. All right. I'm surprised you're shaking off the Kiss Cam. 15 minutes of Kiss Cam.
Yeah, that's a long time of Kiss Cam.
Yeah, but it's so awkward, right? It's at BYU, it's especially wonderful because they show the student section and there's
always some awkwardness.
Yeah, it's
and you don't know, especially at BYU, like some of those guys could be married and just went to the game without their wife and stuff too. And that's why they're like, no.
Yeah,
no.
And it's best when you find people who just don't know each other, happen to be sitting next to each other.
Totally.
Kiss Cam forever. Question number two. Who would win the game of 500 between Kurtz, Hauk, Carter, and Matthews?
I'm going to have to go with Matthews. The guy can jump out of the gym. But so he doesn't get too big of a head. He would also
But can he jump out of the stadium?
No, it's too big.
Okay.
But he would also lead in drops, too. The guy's a freak athlete. Needs to cut down on the drops. I'm going to take that little cheap shot at him after last game. But he would win the 500 game.
All right. And after he makes a catch, I always love how he gets up.
His celebrations.
He celebrates, yeah. And then he runs and he's screaming to the sidelines.
He leads the team in a lot of categories. Cheers for himself per play, he's probably the leader.
Longest hair on top of the head, shortest hair on the sides of the head.
He also leads the team in catches out of bounds. But he leads the team in big-time catches, too. I'll give him that. He leads the team in touchdowns. But he leads the team in multiple categories.
He's a funny, interesting player. What can I say? All right, question number three. Will fans get to see a return of a Detmer onto the gridiron at Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday?
Yes.
Coy Detmer Jr.
I think we will at least go that deep into the quarterback rotation. So this will be the return of the Detmer.
How excited is that for you?
I actually don't get that. I'm not that stoked on it. Like, his name on his jersey, just because of who his dad is, it'll be fun. But I guess what I should say, I don't think that he's going to be a big-time star at BYU. So it'll be intriguing, but I'm not, like, stoked about it.
Yeah. What I want is I want Mark Atuaya to go out on the field and take a handoff from Detmer.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be kind of amazing. All right. How about question number four? Under over, Tosh. 7.5 BYU sacks.
So we had 8 last week. But we're going against a terrible team this week.
They have to do it in the first half, I feel like. There might be 2 in the second half, but like...
I'm going under. I bet we have 7. So it's right at that mark. We're going to have a bunch of sacks. Because especially for defensive players, they can't call them off. They're not going to tell the D end, hey, don't sack the guy on pass plays. And Wagner, for a while, will be trying to pass before they completely give up. But we're not going to get 8. We're going to get 7.
Question number 5, who you got? Chase Fisher, total points in a game against anybody on the schedule this year. So the most points he scores in a game versus BYU football points versus Wagner.
Good question. So BYU will score at least 50 this week. And I think that old Fisher is going to have some big time games, but I don't think he's going to have a 50. So I'm going BYU football this Saturday.
You remember he hit 10 threes against...
Oh, yeah. No, he hasn't. The guy's a streaky player, but I don't see him getting 50. But
all right.
Maybe.
All right. Question 6. Will BYU basketball have a point total this season lower than BYU football's point total versus Wagner?
Okay. So we would have to be – the football team would have to get into the 60s. That last year, the men's basketball team had 2 61-point games.
And that was their lowest on the
season. Were the lowest on the year. I am going to go with that, yes, BYU football this week has a game, scores more than BYU's lowest point basketball game this year.
Okay. All right. These are fun bets. These would be fun bets. Especially without Tyler Hawes, or do you think that I think Dave Rose, they just put buckets up.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
I think offensively, basketball's going to be awesome.
All right. Question number 7. By the way, we got basketball previews coming.
Sweet.
All right. Question number 7. How many red shirts will Bronco burn by playing kids on Saturday?
A lot.
Those kids that are like, I was happy to lose my year of eligibility to play 12 downs against Wagner.
That's kind of his MO, and I'm not sure why. And I've talked to people close to the program that are kind of upset that they thought that they should have redshirted their freshman year when they only played kind of wasted time. But he's going to do it. That's what he does. And part of the defense to it is that he's getting feedback from NFL guys that his players are too old, yada yada. So he's the coach. I'll trust what he does. But I think that we will burn lots of red shirts this Saturday.
All right. question number 8. Another under, over, okay, over, under.
Mm-hmm.
5.5 second half pass plays. Will there be more or less than 5.5 pass plays in the second half?
I am going under. If it's anything like Broncos typically been, like last year against Savannah State, I stayed for the whole game, but it really turned boring at the end. Just run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle, occasional read option. Yeah, I think that we will throw 5 times in the second half, and that is it.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
It's a stay away. Huh?
Great choice on that line.
All right, question number 9. BYU has only won, as I previously mentioned, games this year when they have either been tied or trailed in the fourth quarter. Will the trend continue?
No. No. This game will be a blowout in the first quarter.
If we're tied to Wagner in the fourth quarter, you think there'll be like a temporary, like, they're like, there's a brief reprieve, like drinking's okay for a little bit.
Yes.
To everybody.
Yes, they will.
Word of wisdom
on,
out the window
put that
for
on
a little
the Tron.
Bit.
Yeah, a 15 minute anything goes policy.
Word of wisdom gone.
People start shedding clothing. Yeah. No, but then also.
Wow! Everything! Just everything is gone.
If that.
Wow, The Rock would become really strange.
If that happens, I could see it turn into a Rocky IV moment where the crowd rallies behind Wagner. You know? the great underdog takes down BYU, and then there's the speech at the end. Like, it will not happen. But if Wagner's there in the fourth quarter, strange things will happen.
All right. And then question number 10, what will the Sunday morning headline be?
The Cougars wag nerves at the Seahawks. Kind of a strange one, but it will be a strange game. We will blow them out. And everyone will be eyebrows raised at what that article means, but it really means we will crush them.
All right. And as we all know, the main event from this weekend is Broncos Fireside Talk.
Yes.
Fireside Talk was given to us by Dan from Manhattan, New York.
Nice.
I think he's particularly amped, you know. He knows the Staten Island team.
In-state
you know,
team, yeah.
You know, everyone from Manhattan hates Staten Island. That's what I've been taught my whole life. He said that he discovered Broncos Fireside Talk at Locust Grove, which is the estate of Samuel B. Morse in Poughkeepsie, New York. He was there. While he was visiting there, there was a demonstration on Morse code. He recognized the signal, was paying attention to it, recognized it to be Broncos Fireside Talk, which also leaked that the talk will be given on the edge of the Pa Tempe Hot Springs in Laverkan, Utah. The title of Broncos Fireside Talk is Blessed Are the Merciful, for They Shall Receive Mercy.
Nice. We might need to show some mercy. So Bronco is, he's in the right.
He goes
with his MO.
He wants to receive the mercy back. He wants that top 25 finish.
Yep.
It's been a long streak without one.
If we win this week, we will be in the top 25.
Everyone's going to be like, oh, that Wagner win is huge.
No, but teams move up on bye weeks. And so I think the same thing will happen. People above us will lose. We're 27 in the AP poll right now.
All right. Anyway, congratulations to Dan from Manhattan. CougarCast sticker is being sent his way. And he will be able to sport that sticker out in Fordham territory. So congratulations to Dan. If you know what Broncos Fireside Talk is going to be during the bye week. Actually, is there going to be one?
Yeah. I mean, Bronco never takes a week off.
He doesn't take a week off. No. So if you know what Broncos Fireside Talk is during the bye week, please let us know how you found it and the way in which it was communicated to you. Let us know that at cougarcast@gmail.com. Appreciate that. So congratulations to Dan. What a find.
Oh, yeah.
What a find.
Dan was... Eyes and ears open, you know.
He was out for a wonderful day checking out the Samuel B. Morse Museum. And the next thing he knew, you know, divine light being tapped its way through the line. So in 1990, Ty Detmer won the Heisman Trophy. And this week, he played the Lobos of New Mexico. It was a barn burner of a game, Tosh. At least for the first quarter. 14-14 after the first quarter. Cougars ended up winning 55-31 over the Lobos. This game happened in Cougar Stadium. The Cougars were the ninth-ranked team in the country. And Detmer lit it up. 26 for 41 for 464 yards.
That's a lot of yards.
Five touchdown passes and a couple of interceptions. Interceptions, I've been surprised as I've gone through this, Tosh, how many interceptions it seems he had thrown, but when you wing it that much and you're getting that many yards and stuff like that, I mean, he threw downfield.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that is what happened back in 1990 as Ty Detmer makes his march to the Heisman.
You ready for reason to hate? Everyone out there is thinking, what will be the reason to hate? It's a tough one, I will give you that, but here we go. So let's take us back 3-4 years where Kyle Van Noy was obviously the best linebacker in the state of Utah, but people would bring up, well, what about that Bobby Wagner? You know, I think he might actually be the best linebacker in the state. And what is rubbed salt to the wounds?
Were they were kind of right, maybe.
Yeah, guy gets second round draft pick, having an insane career with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So Bobby Wagner plays for the Seahawks. So whenever I hear Wagner Seahawks, who we are playing this week, I get ticked.
You're seeing red.
Yeah, it's like, holy smokes. This again? I don't think the players will need any more motivation
this
week.
There's no motivation than that. KVN.
Yes. The coaches right now are looking for to pull anything.
It's for KVN.
Here you go. I think they should have Kyle Van Noy come in and just give the speech about how he's been disrespected. His NFL career has not lived up to Wagner at the Seahawks. Right. And that this is our week to show all Wagner Seahawks who really is the best.
Oh, my gosh. Please welcome to the field the Wagner Seahawks.
And boom! Like, oh, boom! It will get wild.
All right, Tosh. So now let's do our game and score predictions. I don't know. Here's one good thing. It's not Senior Day. You remember how they always complain that there aren't people in the stadium on Senior Day?
Because they always choose it against the most terrible teams.
Yeah, so at least it's not Senior Day. It's very cheap for the Boy Scouts to go to the game. You can get your tickets for really cheap.
Nice. Is that true?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the Boy Scouts, I think, may even be, like, free for the Boy Scouts, I think, if you, like, register.
That's a great idea.
Anyway, so the game. Will we see Tanner Mangum? I say yes. Tosh, you say?
No. We better not.
I think we'll see Tanner Mangum, and I think we'll see him for one half of football.
Okay.
I think they will score at will, and I would say the bigger question is will they get to 50 points in the first half? I say no. I think they're going to come short of it. I think they'll get to 49. And let's say a final score of, kick a field goal in the second half. Let's go 59-7.
We're right there. So I don't think that Tanner plays, and my reasoning is more of a wish that he's going to want to play. But if he got hurt, how irate would the fans be and how stupid would the coaches look? And so let's not play him. And we, even without him,
you're worried about those hammies?
Yeah, let's just give him.
He looked fine against Cincinnati
in the second half. In the first half, his motion, his throwing motion, is still not the same.
Right.
I'm going to go score. I think we put up 63 and they score 9.
63 points without Tanner Mangum on them.
Yeah, we'll be able to throw the ball. We'll be able to do anything we want with our quarterbacks, whoever we put out there.
Well, this is where you counter and say, yeah, Rice scored 56.
Yeah, and even crazier than that,
St. Francis U scored 43.
Yeah, if St. Francis U can score 43, we can score 63.
All right. Our
top intramural team could score some points on these guys. Like, I really am, I think that there's a divide here.
Wow. You really think so?
Well, our skilled positions. We don't have, our intramurals wouldn't have the line.
Okay.
But if you look through their roster, which don't ask me why I have, but I've looked through their roster, their height and weights are not going to impress anybody.
Like, but they're smart kids because they're at Wagner, and that's a good school.
All right.
All right. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. Support the show by giving us a rating on iTunes. Really appreciate that. If you do that, helps us. We, again, are right on the edge. We fell out of the top 100, but we're right on that edge. So we appreciate it. Tell your friends about the show,
Give us a review.
Give us a review. Get involved with the show. Email us at cougarcast@gmail.com. Follow myself on Twitter at cougarcast.
One of these days, I'll use Twitter again, and I'm at Lehigh Roller.
All right, sounds good. Read the wonderful articles on vanquishthefoe.com, and go Cougars. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on vanquishthefoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!